Welcome back to another episode of the Bellied Up Podcast presented by Fleet Farm. Charlie Behrens, how are you, my guy?
I'm doing good.
Where are we at today?
We are at Uncle Buck's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right over there by the Pfizer Forum, close to the Deer District. It's a great bar. It's got a lot of wonderful, wonderful decor.
Well, I like what I like about Milwaukee is they really know how to brand everything around deer.
Yeah.
They're really good at that.
We've got the Deer District, the Milwaukee Bucks, Uncle Buck's. You know, just deer running through the roads.
They had deer crossing signs somewhere.
You know, deer are colorblind, right?
Oh,
That's why they never stop at the stoplights.
That was pretty good, actually. I'm over to that one. How long have you been waiting to say that?
Actually, that I wrote years and years and years ago, and I was going through my stand-up bits. Like, I need a new bit. What do I have? And I saw that. I was like, oh, my gosh. How have I not put that in my stand-up show yet?
So is it going to be in?
Yeah, it's going to be in. I'm testing it out here. I test it out on people to make sure it's good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'd maybe do it as like a, hey, I know this isn't going to be funny type of vibe.
No, I'm going to say it like it's super funny. I'll say it as a one-off. You know, it's like one of those jokes. Some comedian described it like this, where you shoot, you leave your hand down, like you're shooting a three and you're already walking back to the, because you know it's going in.
Yeah.
But you don't like put too much emphasis on it like they should have. It's you're already on to the next joke.
Yeah, already playing defense.
Yep.
Yeah, you're back on defense, slapping the floor.
Yep. Slap. Were you a floor slapper?
No.
Did you play basketball?
I did.
I believe it. You're very
athletic.
I mean, you are. You are. Smart. You're very athletic. No, you're athletic. So anyway, yeah. What? Why'd you bring that up, by the way?
What?
Oh, that's right. Because we're in Uncle
Buck's.
We're
Uncle Buck's.
Yeah.
Describe everyone what the vibe is here in Uncle Buck's if I've never been here before.
The vibe at Uncle Buck's, first of all, they do a great job with taxidermy here.
They do have some good taxidermy.
They got a nice 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 14 pointer. Do we call that a 14 pointer? Because you got the two, I think, underneath.
You know, we're at a bar, so we don't need to be splitting hairs. Let's just count it.
Splitting hairs, that's funny because that's what antlers do.
That was great.
That's really
on a roll.
Good.
Just keep going.
It's really all right. So what would you call that one? What would you call that one?
Whatever.
Which one are you counting? Which one are you counting?
3, 4, 5, 6. 7, oh, that little guy,
little
that,
nub.
That
little
count.
Nub.
No, that
I would count it. I would count it.
Fine, we'll count it.
I wouldn't show a picture of it after I told someone, hey, I got a 14 pointer, you know?
You're like, oh, yeah, bad service.
Yeah.
Can't get it to send. Yeah. No, it's a good looking buck. We got the, so I actually, on our other podcast, You Bet Your Radio Found, where all podcasts can be found. Well, he talked about our perfect man cave, and a giant antler chandelier was actually something that I want in my man cave, and they got a bunch of them here. I'm kind of jealous.
Antelier.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Antelier. Where's Uncle Frank?
You know how there's a thing where people that are pretty annoying, what they'll do is they'll steal the copper mugs for like mules and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I might try and steal one of these antlers, just like someone. I'm going to try and put it in one of our bags and hopefully they don't notice.
You're putting that's going to be very tough.
It's going to be tough to explain to TSA what I'm checking. You know,
snip and run,
but
you gotta get up there and snip that chandelier down. There's a wire involved, live wire here.
I already got a distraction in place.
What's
that? I'm gonna go with this one right here.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah,
yeah. What goes in, Miles? If you were to, so you already like the antler. What other taxidermy is appropriate? Not just for the man cave or the garage, but for you're getting married. What is some taxidermy that's okay for the home that is approved?
Well, it depends on what kind of gal you're settling down with.
Well, what do you think should be appropriate?
I mean, I think that anything goes in your basement, right? Like the old ball and chain can't be like, no, you can't put taxidermy up in the base. That's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the mantle, if you got the right gal, she's probably going to allow you to put some taxidermy up there. A lot of other people not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on which area of the house that we're talking.
Okay, bathroom. Don't you just want a nice buck looking at you, looking down there at you? Like, is that all you got?
I was thinking like a maybe like a fox. staring right at you while you're letting it go.
I had a dream. I saw a fox last night. I just remembered it. I don't see enough foxes.
What do you think that means?
I was thinking the exact same thing. Thank you for bringing it up. I don't know. You know, a fox is typically like...
sly.
Well, you have sly. Yeah, so maybe I'm untrustworthy, or maybe someone in my life is.
Or you're about to come up with the most clever idea of your career.
Ooh, because sly could be clever.
Yeah. Mm. Or it maybe means that something's going to get stolen from you, because wasn't Swiper and Dora the Explorer?
Swiper, no swiping.
Wasn't Swiper a fox?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I do think it actually means? I think we should recreate The Fox and the Hound, where I dress up as a fox and you dress up as a hound.
So,
and we're friends, and you can be like, I'm a hound dog, you know? And then you're, and you well, and your
how
friends.
How would I sound?
I'm a hound dog.
Oh, we got to do that.
I'm a hound dog. I'm a hound dog. You know, something like that. I don't know. But I think it could be a lot of fun. Then you and your friends could come hunt me, and then I'll.
I wish the listeners could know how many ideas Charlie's pitched me in the last 6 months that involves us just dressing up in costumes.
I like furries.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a new development here.
Just conceptually, I don't do that. Not that there's anything wrong with anyone who does that on Thursday nights.
Okay. All right.
Friday nights, too.
A little bit of a furry fetish. It's fine.
No, it's not a fetish. I've just seen it, and I'm intrigued.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to fetish shame you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I think
a barefoot furry night, like a barefoot blue moon. What's that country song?
Yeah, barefoot blue jean night.
A barefoot furry night. Anyway, so
I
we got a great episode.
Though,
yeah.
Well, here's a last question before we get into the callers here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to have taxidermy up in your house that you personally didn't take?
I'm not as much of a fan of that, you know, but I mean, if it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, oh, what are we doing? Splitting hairs here, you know?
We're not, what are we, an antler? What splitting are, hairs?
Yeah. What are we, an antler? Splitting hairs? I don't know.
In my opinion, I think it's like, it's okay if it's not yours, if it's like your grandpa's.
Yeah.
Or passed down
in the
or
family.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But
there should be a plaque.
Or if it's like a really cool thing you got from like a thrift store, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's okay. You should just put a plaque that says,
this isn't mine. I didn't shoot.
Otherwise,
this.
It's stolen antler.
You're starting to cool off a little. You started hot. Started hot. And I think that might be our cue.
That might be it.
Get into some callers.
Okay,
so we're
let's
gonna
get into some
callers. And keep her moving. Hello?
Hello?
Who do we got on the line?
Hi, this is Tess.
Tess?
T-E-S-S.
Yes. Tess. How you doing, Tess?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Yeah, we're just having a drink at the bar. You want belly up with us or no?
Oh, I wish. I'm at work.
Well,
I work from home. So
virtually speaking, take a midday break and belly up to the virtual bar with us.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, I am looking for some advice.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, well, what are your guys? What do you got?
So, I'm born and raised in Wisconsin, so I've been here 27 years.
Say it with a smile on your face, Tess. Jeez Louise.
Oh, I love Wisconsin. It's amazing. I would never leave.
Okay.
Oh, I thought there was going to be a butt at the end of that.
Yeah, I thought you were going right to a butt, too. You were like, well, I'm born. That was very Midwest of your setup, you know, very understated. I like it. All right, I've interrupted too much, Tess. Sorry, you're born and raised in Wisconsin.
And I just bought a 5-acre property up in Elroy, a little north of the Dells.
Yeah.
And wondering what you guys think I should do with the property. I mean, I've got so much land now. I don't know what to do with it.
5 acres.
Well, you're going to want to plant a food plot next year.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to put up a few deer stands.
Yeah.
Maybe a few tree stands.
Yeah.
And maybe get a retaining pond on there.
Ooh.
Yeah, one of those.
That'll be tough. But no, we should ask, I guess, because Miles seems to go, he's going right for the recreational farm situation. But 5 acres, you're not going to get any.
Well, where is this in the middle of nowhere, 5 acres, or is this in town? Because don't do that if it's in town.
No, it's what is it? Is it northwest of the Dells? Is that where Elroy is?
Yeah, and it's outside of town. It's in the Boones.
There we
it's
go.
In the Boones. Okay, and you got it for fun, right? For recreation, or do you need to do anything specific on this? Is there a tax purpose? Perhaps you got it. You need to build something. You know?
No, there's a home on it, so I do live there full time.
Okay. Oh, you live there full time now.
Well, then you could maybe you could go the bed and breakfast route. You could go. You could. Go-kart track you could put out there would be kind of fun.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless here. Maybe we start with what are yeah. your interests, because we could go all day on this.
Those are the things that I would want on my 5 acres.
Yeah,
so the previous owner did leave some deer stands, so those will definitely be used.
There nice. We go.
And then we've also got a lot of apple trees. So, I mean, maybe an orchard could Ooh. Be started. That'd be pretty
okay,
cool.
Okay, yeah. The Instagram girls in the fall will pay an arm and a leg to go take a photo by your trees. I'll tell you that much.
And you get some nice hot exactly. cider there and do some of them apple cider donuts. And actually, I do think if you plant trees, that could become a tree farm. And, you know, then you know. Is that enough?
No, I'm saying then you have, I don't know anything about tree farms, but
yeah.
you got a plethora of side businesses. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Are you trying to,
you didn't buy 5 acres. You bought 5 new businesses.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So I think you could make a little tree farm there, maybe do a side hustle. And then, you know, if worst case scenario, it all goes to shoot, just write it off on your taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds great.
And we're not tax experts, by the way, and so we will not help you if you're audited, but we'll definitely, you can call back if you get audited, and we'll say, oh, geez,
honestly,
sorry.
If you just write it off, no one has to pay for it, so you're good to go.
Okay. Yeah,
but that's really that exciting. Works. Now, is it just you on this acreage?
Me and my husband, and then we did buy some chickens, and we've got a few animals.
Oh, little so. Hobby farm as
yeah.
well.
Here you we buried the lead. Yeah. You buried. How many chickens did you buy?
Well, Tractor Supply, apparently there's a minimum of 4, so we had to buy 4.
Yeah, you want to buy, you know, at least half the litter.
Yeah.
Do they call it a litter with chickens?
I don't know. I don't know anything about chickens either.
You never had a chicken, Miles?
I mean, I've had chicken, obviously. Look at me. But I've never owned a chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah. What,
do you get a rooster, too?
What? Yeah. What are you experienced with chickens? You kind of first-time chicken owner here? What's going on?
Yeah, first time. Lots of new experiences. We actually weren't told what the sex is of any of them, so we're just trying to figure it out.
Well, if they're cock-a-doodling do and waking your ass up, you got your answer. But, you know, that's a lot of fun right there. And then they really take care of themselves. You can just let them go and, you know, feed them. Or honestly, if you got sorghum or something growing around there, they'll feed themselves. In the winter, that's a different story. They might die if you don't feed them. But I'm not a pro yeah. with chickens either. Also, the coyotes might get them too. So don't get too attached.
Oh, yeah. I'm like under the mindset that they might die. So,
yeah,
that's always good. You always got to have that mindset.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to die. Life is just about continually disappointing your parents till they die and then you die.
Yeah.
It's a circle of life.
Oh, yeah. Already there. No worries there.
Yeah. Everyone can relate to that.
Your folks got to be proud of you. You got a farm, though. So that's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Are any of these ideas maybe something that perked your ears up that you're like, hey, maybe I'll try that out?
Yeah, do we help you at all here?
Yeah, I think a tree farm's a great idea, honestly.
Boom. bang. That's what we're here
to
do.
Hurts a little that was Charlie's idea.
Hell yeah. Well, what is she going to say? Yeah, I'm going to get a lot of concrete and make a go-kart track, you know? Jeez Louise.
Well, you probably would just do asphalt for that.
Asphalt, yeah. Yeah, that's true. A concrete go-kart track, that would be pristine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the NASCAR of go-kart tracks. Yeah, well, that's cool. Hey, when your tree farm is up, you know, and you're looking for names, Bellied Up Tree Farm sounds pretty good, you know?
Not Belly Up Tree Farm. They'll think that you are no longer in business. Bellied Up. Make
yeah.
sure that's important.
But if you do go out of business, it's a very simple fix,
yes.
you know, with the spray yep. paint. So there you have it. There you have it. Well, Tess, this was awesome.
Thank you,
Is
guys.
There anything else we
it.
Can help you with before we let you get back to planning your tree farm?
Do you guys have any advice just off the shoot?
Wow.
That is.
Yeah. Laugh often, live hard. I'm reading inspirational signs in every bathroom I go into.
if you laugh, cry and think every day, that's a full day. I just thought of that.
What about this? Laugh, love. And live.
And live. Yeah. I don't really like the order. Maybe
live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love live, is better order. Yeah.
Tesk, live, laugh, and love.
That's profound. They should put that on some home decor.
Yeah.
Ooh, I actually got some good advice. My brother told me this, which is the only smart thing he's ever told me. Never cheap out on anything between you and the ground.
Oh, yeah. Shoes, mattresses.
Socks.
Shocks on your car.
Socks on your feet. Don't cheap out on anything that goes between you and the ground. Yeah.
Honestly, I think you guys just changed my life.
Yeah. Go get yourself a nice pair of socks after this.
Yeah. And some shocks too.
I will.
Shocks and socks.
All right. Well, I hope that was good sound advice.
Thank you, Tess. You have a good day and enjoy your apples. Okay. And if your trees start throwing apples at you, you either went to Oz or you did psychedelics, okay?
Thanks, guys. Tell your folks I said hi.
All right, we will. And you tell your folks we says hi, okay? What?
Will do. Thanks.
Miles is laughing at me, and that's bullshit. All right, bye, Tess.
Yeah. The zeal. Yeah, you tell your folks he says hi. Hello, who do we got on the line?
This is Ryan.
Rye guy. Sorry, you probably have heard that way too much.
Where are you at and what you hauling?
I am in Indiana. I actually just picked my little sister up from school right now.
Okay. Oh, that's a good big brother move.
Playing hooky.
Oh, yeah, you know, I kind of get the weekdays off, so it kind of works for me.
Wow. Well, Ryan,
where do you work?
Yeah, where do you work?
I actually work at a restaurant. I do fine dining nowadays.
Yeah? What is your role at said restaurant?
I am a server, but I might be going back to bartending, and that's kind of my dilemma right now.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
There we go.
Server versus bartender.
Belly on up to the bar.
Oh, yeah. Belly on up to the bar with us.
And
do you see that?
Tell us what's on your mind.
See how we did that? That was such an easy transition there.
Well, you know, the thing is I've never, like, bartended in a fine dining place, and there's just so much work. I'm used to, like, you know, your Midwest, you know, shot in a beer bar, and I just don't know if I want to do it there.
Oh, because you're afraid they'll be mad if you mess up their expensive cocktails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually, that is a fear of mine, of getting yelled at for not knowing something because I'm not fancy enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we've talked blackjack before. It's kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah. You got to know what you're doing when you're sitting your ass at that table.
If you do the wrong move, the guy who's really good at blackjack is going to be mad at you. If you make the wrong move, if you make the wrong kind of cocktail, some cocktail snob is going to be mad at you.
You know, and that is true. And what Miles is bringing up is a very common thing. It's sort of the fear of the unknown, you know.
Yes.
But I think once you... it's like anything. It's like once you get into the mix of it and you know, so if you, let's say you take this menu and you practice those cocktails,
and you get a little bit of confidence going, I think then you should make the decision, you know, because I think a lot of times we make decisions out of fear of what we don't know. But if you can know just a little bit and sort of wrap your head around this job, it could seem a lot more attainable. And then, of course, you give it a week, you've mastered it. And then you're making all those tips, my man.
A lot of times as well, this may help the psyche side of it. You got to take a look around at some other fancy bartenders, and you got to find the ones that are like, you look at them and you're like, okay, that guy is not very smart and he can do it. Like, I can do it too. I shouldn't be worried about it.
That is true.
There's
that
a lot
true.
Of dumb, smart people in the world, you know?
Yeah. Now, it could be, though, that the main bartender at this bar is just sharp as a tack, sound as an old engineer. And then, you know, you might get intimidated. But if that's the case, take my advice. If he's just a schmuck or whatever, take Miles's advice. But either way you go, we're giving you solid advice. You must know bar dice.
Yeah, you guys
though.
Are. Yeah, my biggest thing is like, we have a lot of wine, and I don't know the first thing about wine.
Oh, okay, this is so easy. Oh, my, this is the easiest thing in the world.
Is it? Wine is scary to me,
no,
too.
No. Here's the number one thing. No one knows anything about wine. If someone thinks that they know about wine, they don't. They just know all the buzzwords. They know all the techniques to make you look fancy.
What are the wine buzzwords that everybody must know?
Tannins.
What does that mean?
Mouthfeel.
What does tannins mean?
It's stuff that's in wine.
What's the thing where
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't
tannins are like when you swirl the glass around and you see the little legs down, and that's what makes your mouth feel really dry.
Look at the brain on Ryan.
Why are you worried about wine? You know more than every other person about wine.
Yeah, that is interesting. What is the legs thing, though? When you're looking at the legs, what is that the tannins or the talons?
I think more legs means a better wine.
Oh, the more the leg, the better the wine.
It's kind of like meat. More legs, the better it tastes.
Ostrich?
That sounds right. I don't think I can argue it.
How good is
ostrich?
What
do you like having better, a nice juicy steak or a dry piece of chicken?
Well,
steak's got more legs.
Steak all day.
Ostrich has more legs than steak. Have you had ostrich before?
How many legs does ostrich have?
Oh, it's got. I thought you meant the length. No, I thought you meant the length
no,
of
the
these legs.
Legs. There's four legs on a pig and a cow.
It depends what your definition of more was.
Wine's just like meat. The more legs, the better.
Well, more can mean more size lengthwise.
Legs.
Anyway, I'm glad we're helping you out here. Maybe you're helping us out more than we're helping
you out.
Well,
so you're already, I don't know why you're so worried about the wine thing. You knew what tannins were. You know what legs are. Let me guess. Do you know the technique to aerate the wine through your teeth?
Oh, yeah. That's where you slurp it a little.
Is that where you like swish it around kind of like mouthwash?
No. You put a little in your front two teeth. Yep. I show you. I can never do it without getting asphyxiating
myself. You're working
it.
On it. I'm experienced with it. Could you hear that? I know that this is kind of a...
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay, I have one more question for you guys.
Oh, good. Change the subject. He's like, if you slurp
in driving related.
Driving?
When are we in the Midwest going to learn how to use roundabouts?
When are we going
to... starting to put them in at my hometown, and I've seen the most Midwest thing ever. I've seen people actually in the roundabout stop and wave other people in.
Yeah. That is what you do at a roundabout.
I think what
we are always yielding in the Midwest. We can't handle more yield signs, you know? And so I don't know who decided to put the roundabouts there, but
honestly, yeah, if we just eliminated the yield signs on roundabouts, people would keep, they wouldn't feel like they need to stop. You know what I mean?
That could be it. Cause once you say yield, they're like, oh, geez, we
have
after
to come
you.
To a complete stop.
Oh,
right?
After
it's
you.
One step further. If it's a stop sign, you're going to put the car in park. You're going to get out, check the tire pressure on your car, all that stuff. Whereas if it's a yield sign, then you just come to a stop. So if we just don't have anything, I think that we'll yield.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now, you're right. It's basically like, you know, someone's driving. Whoever is not from the Midwest is in the middle of the track, you know, and the Midwest people are like, you know, the pit crew at NASCAR.
Yep.
And they're like, is that what you just said?
No.
Oh, that, you know what made me think of it is when you said check the tire pressure, but I kind of feel like all these people from the Midwest get out of their car and as these cars are circling, they're like, stop here. Let's check your tire pressure. We'll fill up your fluids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of a funny bit.
I mean, that's actually maybe roundabouts are a good spot to have like an auto body shop or a oil change, like a Jiffy Lube.
Yeah. Right in the middle.
That'd be a good spot.
It'd be like the old days when you go to get gas, they'd come out and check your fluids and air your tires up.
Yeah. And it's just volunteer based. It's all volunteer based in the Midwest.
It's just, all you got to get is the facility stuff there, right? You need a gas pump out there.
Yeah.
All that. And then it's just all volunteer work.
Perfect. Let's implement it. Cut to us implementing it to a zoom out bird's eye view. It's just like four lanes that just backed up like 3 miles.
Yeah, and there's car accidents everywhere, explosions.
And we're just giggling in the middle because we're helping so many people.
So in other words, we're never gonna figure it out. You're just gonna have to accept that it's not a roundabout, it's just a four-way stop.
Yeah,
let's just call it as it is. It's just a four-way stop. Doesn't matter what the DOT tries and tell us, you know.
Okay, I got one more question here before I gotta let you go.
Yeah, I mean we're ripping and roaring.
All right. Any advice for someone that just got done writing a stand-up? How do I get over the nerves to go on stage?
Oh, wow. Miles, how does he do it?
I don't know. I'm a bad guy to ask about nerves, you know? I just like kind of just go and do it and then just figure it out when you get up there. But Charlie's a better answer for this one.
I had a lot of nerves when I did my first stand-up set. And I went up there and I did my set and I completely bombed and I didn't go back up for 6 months. And that was not good. That's not what you want to do. But I think, how many minutes is your set?
I'm still kind of rehearsing it, but it's probably around a half hour right now.
Half hour. Holy shit.
You don't need that much.
Yeah, no, you need. So you're going to go to an open mic and do this?
Yeah. Okay. I'll probably trim it down to like 15 minutes or so for that.
No, you're going to probably trim it down to 5 minutes because most open mics are between 3 to 5 minutes. I don't know how they are in Indiana. Okay. If you have an open mic where you got 15 minutes, that's great. But I would start with a 3 to 5 minute open mic. I would go there tonight.
It's nice is if you actually do have air quotes 30 minutes of material,
it's great.
All you got to do is just take the 3 or 4 best jokes you got in there, and that's your hot five.
Yeah, exactly. You've really done the work.
You've already got it.
Yeah, so I would really boil down your set to your top, I would say, 10 jokes. And now, if you're doing a half hour, I assume you have a lot of setup and storytelling in this set. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. The hardest thing I had writing was that, you know, that come around back joke towards the end that kind of relates to the one in the beginning.
Yeah. Callback.
I finally got that. Yeah.
Your callback?
Yeah, the callback.
So what I would do is I would just get your best, whatever you think your best punchlines are, literally go through and highlight them. If you wrote it down or if you're thinking about it, just do that and just condense your setup into a one sentence setup, bang it down with a punchline. And really, when you're first starting up in stand-up, people just want to know, who are you? And they also have predispositions of who you are just by looking at you. So embrace what you look like. Embrace where you're from. Say like, I'm whatever. I'm from here. You know, punchline. You know, I am blank.
I've always been told I look like Tom Petty and Owen Wilson the most.
That's good. If Tom Petty and... Yeah, can you do impressions?
Wow.
What would Tom Petty sound like if Owen Wilson was singing it?
Tom Petty if Owen Wilson was singing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, think about that. Try doing that impression. That's kind of funny. Yeah. It'd be like, wow, well, I'm free falling. Free. Falling.
You kind of sound like the Joker.
I know that. I only have one impression. I'm terrible at impressions.
That was a little creepy.
Yeah, well, do it better than me, for God's sake. I'm spitballing here, all right?
Leave it to the professional comedians, Charlie.
Yeah, I know. I'll leave it to you guys. But that's really funny. That's a great opening line. I know what you're thinking. I look like Tom Petty had a love child with Owen Wilson. And then you ever think about, or you can just go right into if they did actually have a love child, what would that sound like? Anyway, I could go on and on about this, but you've got a lot of good stuff. And just boil it down to your five or six best punchlines. Go do a hot five, see how it goes. And when you bomb, it may not be on your first time. Could be your second, third, or fourth. Just know that bombing is part of the process and to not wait 6 months to get back up there. Get back up there the next night. You'll be terrified or whatever.
I think they say once you fall, just get back on the horse.
There you go. Miles, bringing in the hot advice to close this out.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. That was some good advice today.
I appreciate you, Ryan. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for bellying up to the bar with us.
Have a good one, man.
Tell your folks that they're high, and I'm going to watch out for deer on the way home.
All right, good for you. Okay, don't hit them if you do.
All right, have a good one.
Bye now.
So you don't know anything about wine, do you?
No.
When was the last time you drank a glass of wine?
Like, because I wanted to? or because it was the only thing at the table? It would have been, I remember, I was in Canton, Ohio.
Okay.
I was at a nice event. It was for the NFL Hall of Fame.
I was at a nice event, he says.
The nicest event I've been to in a long, long time. And don't
I would
think
say that's a pretty big deal. He's just like, yeah, I was at a pretty cozy, intimate event. You know, it was only the NFL Hall of Fame ceremony.
NFL Hall of Fame gold jacket ceremony. And they only had wine there. And I drank wine. And it was okay.
How were the tannins?
I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
What was the mouth feel?
Look, I'm okay with wine. The mouth was whatever. I didn't pay much attention. I wanted to get a little buzz on, you know?
So you were gulping wine.
Yeah, I had a little more. But then I started to be like, this can give me a hangover because I didn't know if a wine does that. I'm not good with wine. I'm not. I don't get it. Like, what are the things that, like, okay, if you're just a normal guy walking into a thing and you want to look somewhat presentable with wine, give me the four things. Almost give me the toolkit for a guy who knows nothing about wine. The toolkit for someone who knows nothing about wine but wants to kind of impress somebody. What is it?
Here's the first. You need to have nicknames for stuff. You can't be saying the entire name of the wine. You just got to be like, yeah, I'll take the cab. Right?
Or the Pinot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the Pinot.
Yeah, you don't need to say the whole name. So that's number one.
Good.
Number two, once you
Chard. I'll have the Chard.
Once you get this glass.
Sounds like Chard, though.
Yeah, don't call it Chard.
Yeah, I'll have the Chard. Excuse me, sir. You know the Chardonnay. That's great. That's good.
You know it doesn't have a T in it, right?
No, but it's funny if you say it short, you know, I'll have the Chard.
Chard.
And then the D and the T kind of commeld.
What?
It's funny. Trust me, that's a good one. You're going to make a video out of this later.
Number two.
Yeah.
Once you get the glass, you don't drink it right away. First, you got to just start swirling.
Oh, that I know. And you give a little
swirl. Just start swirling it.
I always forget that, but I know
Then
that.
You're going to pick it up and you're going to stick your nose all the way in it, give it a sniff.
Do you exhale out of the mouth, though? Because if you exhale through the nose, I found you can get some snot in your wine.
Just only breathe in with it up by your nose. Don't. I mean, if you like the extra flavor, maybe launch a few boogies.
But is it in? That's how you got to do it. So it's in the nose, out the mouth.
I don't know if you do continual breaths like that.
That could be a breath workshop.
I think it's just
could be a breathing exercise.
And then you take the glass away.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I'm trying to experience the full wine situation. Yes. All right, so breathe it.
You want basic spin steps, Charlie. You're going to step 3, 4.
Name
eight,
it,
nine.
Spin it, breathe it.
And then you're going to take the small taste. And then you're going to swish it around your mouth, and you're not going to pay attention.
That I know.
Then you're not going to pay attention to it.
Like that.
Then, so your mouth gets used to what's going on.
Oh, first you have to put it in your mouth all around?
Yeah.
That's before you do the aerating thing?
Well, yeah.
Are you?
I don't know the order, but my guess is you get your mouth used to it, you drink it, then you put it in your mouth, and you do the sucking it through your teeth thing.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, I was listening to you this whole freaking time thinking you knew what you were talking about. You just wasted 5 minutes of my life.
Well, no, I'm just saying I knew up to that point.
Oh, okay.
And then you probably are going to want to end it with the buzzwords, right? It's
that was a great chart.
There's no buzzwords in that sentence at all.
Chart.
You just wanted to work chart back then. No, it's going to
I sharted on my legs. Now I can see my tannins.
Oh, all right. Let's take another caller.
Hey, friends, get ready for fall.
You want to know what today is?
Hey, friend, what's that?
It's my half birthday today.
Dude, I'm so sorry. I missed your birthday. I must have.
Well, no, it's... No, you're good. I mean, it's my just celebrate my half birthday right now.
No, I know, but
and what better way? It's
can you do the math for me? What day is your actual birthday? September 22nd, plus minus six or plus six. September, October, November, December, January, February 22nd.
March 22nd.
I can remember that. That's now that'll be three
but
days
this
after
is September
your anniversary.
22nd. And where would you, we want to
well,
go on my birthday, Charlie?
Well, we
want
to go to
one
Fleet
place.
Farm. Fleet Farm on your half birthday for the fall cleanup. You know, school's back, and that means fall is back. Fleet Farm is your fall cleanup headquarters. From rakes to leaf bags and blowers to lawn fertilizers, etc. And don't forget to get your...
Everyone's looking for a good blower on their
Don't
half
forget
birthday.
To get your outdoor wear either. Miles, you're always wearing your bibs, and maybe I got to get some bibs too. I like bibs.
I like bibs, and the only good place to get them is Fleet Farm, honestly.
Fleet Farm.
We love it.
Fleet Farm.
No, honestly, I can't think of a better thing to do on your half birthday than to go to Fleet Farm. I mean, that's
maybe
like,
for your half birthday, I'll take you there.
Well, that's today.
I know. So let's go.
Okay. Is that what we're
going
after?
We'll finish
the
podcast later.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right, guys, you got to do the same. We'll meet you at the Fleet Farm for your half birthday. Hello, who do we got on the line?
Dan, well, I probably shouldn't give you my last name, but Dan.
Why not, Dan? You don't trust us?
You know our
you
last
know
names.
Our last name's Charlie Behrens and Miles Montplaisir. That's Mount Pleasure.
Well, actually, as I have found out recently, Charlie, you did know my cousin.
Oh, Jesus.
So you might actually know my last name.
What's your last name?
Also, did you say your name is Dam or Dan?
Dan, like
D-A-N. Like damn
with sound
a
like
damn D-A-N-B at the end? Are you saying damned?
D-A-N, like Daniel.
Dan.
Well, why don't you just
Dan,
say Daniel?
Pretty standard deal.
Dan, why don't you belly up to the bar with us and tell us what's on your mind?
All right, so I need some advice. I recently got bumped from an airline and they gave me some money to spend, so I was curious if you guys had any advice
it's
on
a
how
trap.
To spend this money.
It's a trap. First of all, I will say it's a toll trap because it's so hard to spend that free money they give you. I have found personally, but hopefully that's not your
so
scenario.
Is it just cold hard cash, or is it
it's a voucher?
Is that a voucher?
It is not. It was a voucher to redeem for a Visa or MasterCard prepaid credit card.
Oh,
so he's so flush like, with cash.
That's, so it is like cold hard cash.
How
yeah.
much money? How bad did they screw you?
$1,100.
Whoa! Okay. How'd you get $1,100 from an airline? Did they like drop you off mid air?
Yeah, they give you a parachute and said, "Hey,
what does an airline need to do to give you $1,100?"
Well, the ticket was like $6,000.
Oh, yeah, probably. That's probably it. How much was your ticket? Let's get the facts all on the floor.
So I believe the ticket was maybe $300-$400. Me and my family were going down to Orlando, but because of my job, I had to leave a day later, so it was just me on the flight.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was I was supposed to board the plane, I don't know, 1 p.m., we'll say.
The engine
and they're
fell
like,
off.
Hey, we're looking for volunteers. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll sign up. So they're like, oh, hey, we're giving out $600 for this flight. I was like, well, cool. So the time comes and goes, and I get the $600. And then the next flight I was supposed to be on, they're like, hey, we're looking for volunteers again. And I was like, well, shit, I'll do it again.
Let it ride, baby. And that's how you lost
so
your job.
They ended up giving me another thing. No, yeah, thankfully, no. It's pretty hard to fire my position, but...
What's your position?
They gave me another $500 for that one. Wow. Oh, I'm a firefighter.
Oh, you're a firefighter. Well, geez.
So, okay. I mean, that's an unbelievable.
That is a great story.
That's how he got $1,100.
Yeah. Okay. I never do that because I always think you're just going to get a voucher. And then I've had a terrible voucher experience. What airline were you flying?
I was flying Delta.
Yeah, Delta's a good airline.
They would do that.
All right. Well, talk us through. What do you got your eye on potentially for this $1,100?
Well, I was thinking either a vacation or another firearm.
Hey, but hold on.
Another firearm.
No, hold on. Firearm, he said.
Oh, geez.
So the vacation can be a slippery slope because what are you going to do when you get to the airport and then they say, hey, we're looking for volunteers. You're addicted to that now. You're never going to make it on the vacation.
That's
You're just going to get caught in an endless loop of getting Visa cards with $500 on
it. You know what? We don't need to discuss any other options for the money. We already know what you're doing. You're already out there cruising cheap tickets. You're like, what?
Reinvesting.
What cities do they cancel a lot of? Take me to Ottawa, you know? Yeah, that's good.
Who's got bad weather? Yeah.
Yeah, who's got bad weather coming in? You turn into a meteorologist.
Delta gave, allegedly, the news story said $10,000 per ticket for Grand Rapids to Minnesota. St. Paul.
Wow.
But you must have Michigan to
really wanted to go to St. Paul or really wanted to get the hell out of Grand Rapids. I guess one of the two. But that's a nice town.
$10,000?
$10,000. I do that.
Allegedly. I can't confirm it, but that's what the news, the TV news article said.
I think we just unlocked a new profession.
Yeah.
And that is.
Right? You know how much old that
is? You literally identify which ones they generally overbook, and you're just continually signing up for those tickets. And when they ask for a volunteer, you volunteer and get the money. That's a great, I mean, you could make a living off of
you
that.
You couldn't, I mean, he is making a living now.
I can tell.
Well, I mean, you're making more than your firefighter cash money from this, potentially.
Oh,
$1,100 in 2 hours? I don't think firefighters make that much. I mean,
no,
I don't know.
No, we do not.
No? Where are you fighting fires these days?
No. Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, I was just in Toledo.
How big is Toledo?
Toledo, it's about half of Milwaukee.
Okay, well, how big's Milwaukee? Yeah.
It's about two Toledos.
Okay,
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I wish we could have seen you, but I was working.
Well, what the? Well, you got. Oh, you were working.
That's important.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't want to spend any of his $1,100.
He was sitting in the terminal waiting for his next volunteering.
Right.
Toledo's a great town, man. I like that town a lot. Yeah. I went out there. That's a lot of fun. I went to a couple.
Did you go to Tony Packer?
No, I went to a bar, Greek place, Greek bar or something. I forget the name.
You went to a toga party?
No. No.
What Greek bars?
I don't remember either. Wow. It had a Greek name on my credit card thing. Why'd you bring up a toga party?
I don't know. I feel like you'd have a toga party at a Greek bar.
I don't know if it was Greek or if they would just serve Greek food. I think something on my credit card statement said Greece to me. I don't know. Anyway.
Grease is what you're saying. So you went to like a pizza joint.
No, I went to Greek. It was some sort of Greek.
Greek or Greece? Are you saying?
Well, Greece is a place where Greeks are from. So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. You know, you really shouldn't have skipped all those grades in grade school.
So you're thinking about getting a firearm. What else are you thinking about buying with that money?
You know, it's either that, the vacation, or just kind of let it sit. But here's the caveat. Delta did say that I have to use the money by December 31st.
Oh, they would say that, wouldn't they?
So I got some time.
Well, it's a Visa credit card. I don't think Delta has any say in the Visa credit card. I feel like,
what?
Tell Delta.
So the Visa expires December.
Oh, they're hoping you forget about it. They're hoping you forget about it. You get that money back.
So, okay. All right. Well, I would say don't hold on to it because that's your money's not doing anything for you there.
Right.
I would maybe think about donating it to charity.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to donate that money to charity.
Okay. He's like, that's like the worst answer, Miles. I hate that answer.
Yeah.
Because now if I say I don't want to do that, I look like an absolute dick.
And we know his cousin, too.
And we know his cousin.
We're going to follow up.
If he can.
Now you're going to call Mike, and Mike's going to call me and say, oh, why were you such a dick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. You have to donate it to charity.
Put it right in the church basket. Yeah. Go buy yourself something or buy something for someone else.
You got a significant other?
I do, yeah.
So buy them some with it. You don't have to spend all of it on them.
You know what?
Right?
This is too much decision. Give it to your significant other and have them
don't do
spend
that.
It. Yeah.
No, don't do that.
That way you don't have the guilt of not. You don't have the guilt of not donating it.
Yeah. He or she will not be able to handle that much responsibility.
Yeah. That is.
I'm getting stressed out for you.
Honestly, just give the money back. It's too stressful.
Yeah. That's our advice. That's it. Just call Delta, say you take this.
I'm starting to sweat thinking about this.
Yeah. All the possibilities, all the you know, dogs and shelters you could save with it.
Airport.
Yeah, just don't think about all like the kids you could adopt with that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know if I could adopt a lot of kids with it.
Well, someone can.
Well,
with
if
your
you
money.
Go to the right orphanage, you can.
Do you know a lot about orphanages?
No,
Miles.
There's a comedian that says that's the problem with no one's adopting is no one knows where the nearest orphanage is.
Oh, that's a Bill Burr bit.
Yeah.
But at the dog rescue, everyone knows.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot easier to rescue a dog.
Oh, we could rescue a dog.
There you go. Yeah. But I think rescuing dogs is free.
It's free to a degree. You got to buy them food. You got to get them collars, little Kongs you fill with peanut butter. You got to get the peanut butter. You know, it's a whole process.
Bones.
Yeah, they go bury them in the backyard. You know, you got to do the whole deal. So, yeah, go get a dog and send us pictures, okay?
I will do that.
All right. Talk soon. Watch for deer.
Right,
tell Mike
guys.
I says hi, okay?
Hey,
next time
I'm on a flight and they ask for volunteers, I'm going to give you a quick call.
Yeah.
All right, do it.
All right.
I'll give you the best advice I can.
No, I'm saying that you can volunteer. You can make more money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Volunteers
Thank
tribute.
I appreciate it.
All right. See you, man.
See you now.
Tell Mike we
See
say you. Hi.
Yep. Let Mike
we
know.
We will.
All right.
Yep. Keep her moving.
All right. Watch for deer now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I mean, that's a great racket you could run up. Just picking flights that always are overbooked.
Yeah.
Never have an intention of getting on the air flight at all.
There are so many rackets in the flying thing that customers do, but then the airlines get hip to you. They do. Like, you can get cheaper flights doing, like, three connections going to, say, Hawaii or something. But then you're not going to Hawaii. You're just going to L.A., you know?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know if that's how it works. But
that's a great idea.
You buy a flight to New York, but it goes through Atlanta.
Yeah,
and you just get off in Atlanta.
Yeah, but if you don't get on in New York, the next flight back.
They cancel it.
Yeah.
So you can only do it for one way.
You only go one way.
But that's a good way to screw the man and also make everybody else's airline flights more expensive. But they are federally subsidized. I think they'll do all right.
The airlines make a dollar and I make a dime. That's why I shit up in the air in airplane time.
Did your dad tell you that?
I don't know. Charlie, well, I think that was a pretty fun podcast. I think my personal favorite was the racket that our guy was dealing with the airlines.
Yeah. I mean,
I never thought about it before. That's a good way to make a living.
Businesses can be born in any situation, in any deal. You know, you just got to stay in there and be creative. And you know, before you know it, you end up with an opportunity. And there's a cost to that opportunity. It's called an opportunity cost. Guy who wasn't listening to conversation.
Are you playing dominoes on your phone?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm playing dominoes in my mind. No, I know.
What's your biggest failed side hustle you've ever tried to do?
Oh, geez. There's so many. I was trying to go independent as a bike mechanic, and I put up, you know, because I didn't want to work for the man, you know, so I put up these flyers. I fix cheap bikes.
Did the man want you to work for him? Didn't you get fired?
I got fired from... No, I don't think I got fired from bike mechanic.
But keep going. You were doing what?
I put up these flyers. I'd say, got a cheap bike, need a cheap fix or something. I thought there was a market for people who need their cheap bikes fixed, you know, because you're not going to go to the bike store.
Like a Huffy?
Yeah. And in college, you know, you got a crappy bike. You're not going to go spend $75 for a bike. It's worth $75. I would do it for $10. You know, fix your derailleur, your brake pads, or this or that. Nobody called me. Not one person.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't sound like I didn't want to call you for that.
Well, you must not have had a cheap bike and needed a cheap repair, because that's what my sign said. Printed it at the school computer, UW-Madison and college library.
Hey,
cost me 10 cents a page.
They would love to know that you were very entrepreneurial for being there.
Yeah.
I think my worst side hustle, thanks for asking, Charlie.
Yeah, I care about you too.
I signed up for online, it was called User Testings, I think. And it's like, you literally would just like, it would just be like, you just do tasks.
TaskRabbit.
No. It was just all online. And I would have to like fill out a survey or like use an app and like, all right, navigate to this page. And I would have to like click whatever as like side hustle, like if I don't got anything going on.
And you didn't make enough money?
I made like $60, but it was like, it was pretty bad money. So
how long did it take you to make $60?
I don't know. Like 5 hours.
Oh, lame.
Yeah, not good.
No.
It's like the one we're all doing the math in our head.
Yeah, I'm like a little over $10.
I don't know. It was bad. So
yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with $10.
Not as good as the bike shop idea.
I made $0 doing that. So you win.
Can't go broke making a profit, I guess.
You win. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bellied Up podcast. And you can find us places. And I can't wait for you to belly
follow
up.
Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram.
TikTok. Facebook. Is Facebook still a thing? Can't wait. This is a joke. But serious question.
There's people who are listening to this on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I know that. That's a joke.
Yeah. Go listen to You Betcha Radio and Cripes Cast as well. And we'll see you in the next one, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.